Governor Holcomb's address on equity and inclusion. Woody Myers talks racism in a new ad. Plus, Hoosiers getting a FEMA-backed unemployment boost and more on Indiana Week in Review for the week ending August 21st, 2020.
Indiana Week in Review is made possible by the supporters of Indiana Public Broadcasting Stations and by Ice Miller. Ice Miller is a full-service law firm committed to helping clients build, grow, and protect their interests. More at icemiller.com.
This week, Governor Eric Holcomb said he wants to be a barrier buster to help reduce racial inequality in the Hoosier State and announced that will include creating a new government position and sharing data on racial disparities. Holcomb laid out about a half a dozen specific actions he will take. The first is creating a new cabinet post, Chief Equity, Inclusion, and Opportunity Officer, to work across state government.
In short, this cabinet member will help every state agency raise their game.
Holcomb will also mandate body cameras for every frontline state trooper by spring of next year. And he wants an outside group to review training at the Indiana Law Enforcement Academy, which instructs about two-thirds of police across the state.
We'll look at areas like use of force, de-escalation training, and implicit bias training.
Not included is a ban on chokeholds, which the Indiana Black Legislative Caucus calls for. The administration says the issue is more complicated and is reviewing use of force broadly. Are Governor Holcomb's proposals an adequate response to the pervasive problems of racism in Indiana? It's the first question for our Indiana Week in Review panel. Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Mike O'Brien, John Schwannis, host of Indiana Lawmakers, and Whitney Downard, State House reporter for CNHI. I'm Indiana Public Broadcasting State House reporter Brandon Smith. Ann Delaney, reaction from State House Democrats was, I would call it, mixed, though most were along the lines of, it's a good start. How do you see it?
Well, it's a start. I'm not even sure it's a good start, because Governor Holcomb controls the state police completely. He could ban chokeholds tomorrow. He could mandate the body cameras. He could do the training. The models are already out there. We don't need to study it again. We could just need to implement them. He could create a model police force and then say to all the other jurisdictions over which he doesn't have control, if you want to participate in this model, we'll help you. We'll help you provide body cameras or to help store the body camera data or the training, any number of things. For too long, people of color in Indiana and across the country have not had the same kind of faith that law enforcement is there to serve and protect them. That's obvious. That's detrimental, not only to the people of color who feel that way, but also to the police. And we really need to address that. And now is the time, not to bump it with kick the can down the road, which is what he does with everything. He has the ability to implement it right now. And that's what he ought to be doing. And so has he done something? Yeah. He always does as little as he possibly can to say that he's done something without really fixing the problem. And that's the hallmark of his administration.
Mike, a lot of, even some of Governor Holcomb's proposals where he talked about working with the judiciary and lawmakers to address bail reform and pretrial release and things like that, and the jail overcrowding problem, and you know, the training at the police academy is going to be, well, we'll figure out eventually. Did there need to be more immediate action on some of these issues?
I think this is a good start. I think it's clear that he's not said, here's my response to systemic racism in America. I mean, this is the starting point of a ongoing and permanent discussion in state government, which the governor oversees, and a permanent discussion on. He's getting national recognition for this because too few Republicans are even willing to recognize systemic racism or even willing to acknowledge implicit bias in our police departments. And so he's directed the state police, which he controls directly. And I think it was really smart that he went through the law enforcement academy because almost every police department in the state puts people through that. And it's two-thirds of police officers get training there, but they also go back to their departments and relay that training. And they do their own training inside the departments. It starts at ILEA. So I think this was a great – I think he creatively had a broader reach than what he has over control over. Now a lot of those other items on the Black Caucus agenda that we talked about last week or the week before – a lot of those are going to have to be legislative matters. They're going to have to be judicial branch changes, and those are all coming. They're still on the table. Now that was a very far-reaching list that the Black Caucus wanted. It included things like legalizing marijuana and other things that aren't on the top tier. And I think what the governor focused on were the things that are an immediate priority and the most recognizable ways you can make progress in this area.
The most immediate priority should be chokeholds. Okay? It should. And he could have done that, and he didn't.
Well, Doug Carter, the state's police superintendent, does point out that they do not train officers to use chokeholds, though they aren't, and they don't encourage them, certainly, but that is a little different than a ban. Whitney, I want to ask you this, which is what I just asked sort of Mike, is a lot of the things that the governor's talking about are, admittedly, he wasn't going to solve the problem on Tuesday, but a lot of it is, and a lot of what the Black Caucus wants, is legislative. So, and he talked about working with legislative leaders to further these goals. Is the tail of the tape for Eric Holcomb, assuming he gets reelected, going to be what he is able to get through the General Assembly?
Well, one thing I want to point out is that he has this data portal of his, and this is going to tie into the legislature, but we already know some of these health disparities. We already know that maternal mortality for Black Hoosiers is much higher than it is for white Hoosiers. So we already know that these disparities exist, and still the legislature didn't pass anything related to maternal mortality in this last session. So I'm not sure if the legislature really has any sort of appetite for doing anything along these lines. They couldn't even commit to making a summer study committee for maternal mortality, which we've known about for years. So I'm not sure that the legislature really wants to do anything about this without taking a slow process and a slow approach. So I wouldn't anticipate anything concrete coming from the legislature in this upcoming session. I'm sure bills will be announced and written, but I'm not expecting anything in particular.
John, we've talked about this a little last week with the Black Legislative Caucus agenda, but now with Governor Holcomb giving this address and laying out the steps he's taking and the other things he wants to see happen, if you're a Hoosier who is interested in seeing these reforms pursued and put into place, do you have any confidence in the General Assembly and in Governor Holcomb's ability to push the General Assembly into doing it?
Well, it's hard to push the General Assembly into doing much of anything, as we've seen looking at history. But I think Mike makes a good point, and that is that the first step to recovery in any situation is a recognition of a problem. And in taking these steps, limited though they may be, I think the governor has done something important, and that is a Republican governor acknowledges that there is a systemic problem, as Mike suggested. And that is not something that is altogether common right now among that cohort, the Republican governors right now. So I think that is important. It sends an important message. And keep in mind that voters are, again, on any issue, not just this, but anywhere in the country on any issue, they're motivated more by anger and animus than they are by affection or admiration. And I think what the governor has done here is taken a step, as he's done on many issues as governor, to take anger out of the equation, to take anger off the table. And so it's hard to get motivated if you're a natural opponent to say, I'm going to go out and do everything I can to defeat this guy who doesn't really make me that mad. And may, in fact, be at least acknowledging that there are problems in areas that I, where I have the greatest concern. So I think it's pretty effective politically.
All right. Well, speaking of addressing racism, Democratic gubernatorial candidate Dr. Woody Myers posted a powerful new ad this week that grapples with that very issue. Myers, a former state health commissioner and the first Black person ever to run for governor in Indiana on a major party ticket, doesn't mince words in the spot.
In medical school, they teach you to first do no harm. What they don't prepare you for is a drunken patient waking up and screaming, "What are you doing to me?"
Myers goes on to talk about his lifelong experiences with racism in Indianapolis and beyond in education and his professional life. That includes his time as an emergency room physician and as chief healthcare officer at Ford Motor Company. First, I want to note that
WFYI made the decision to bleep or cut out the word in that clip from the ad. The original was uncensored. Mike O'Brien, can this ad shake things up for the Myers campaign?
I don't think so. It's a compelling ad, and certainly compelling life that Dr. Myers has had. I mean, it's hard enough to do the things that that he's accomplished in life, much less as an African-American male in the last half century. So the problem with the Myers campaign is that, forget Republicans, you need to go get to cross over to elect a Democrat like elect a Democrat governor statewide. Democrats aren't invested in this campaign. I mean, you have, the biggest news this week in the gubernatorial race was the Indiana State Teachers Association decided to sit out of that race entirely. This entire election year was supposed to be about teacher funding, school pay, or teacher pay, school funding. And that was going to be the rallying cry. It was going to be teachers rallying at the state house. It was going to be them as a grassroots backbone of a Democratic gubernatorial win. And the largest organization in the state, the most critical one in recent years, decided to sit out of this race entirely. So Dr. Myers, from a financial standpoint, his inability to raise money, and now his inability to get institutional Democratic organizations to support him is a real problem for him.
And Delaney, Dr. Myers' reaction to the last topic we talked about, Governor Holcomb's equity and inclusion plan, was much too little, much too late. It feels weird to say this in August, but was this ad, which is undoubtedly compelling and powerful, is it a little too late to move the needle the way he needs it to?
I don't think so. And it's interesting that the supposed backbone of the Democratic Party is now headed by a Republican leader. So
I don't know why you did that.
That may have something to do
really
with the
short-sighted
endorsement. Oh, yeah, exactly. But I think the ad is compelling. You know, obviously, the kinds of things that he needed to absorb and be able to shake off were tremendous. And it shows that, you know, we have the infant mortality, certainly. We have other instances in this where we are hurting as a state and as a country. And it's pretty clear that Dr. Myers understands this in a way many others don't. And I think it's important that he get this message out, because it is there is endemic racism in this state and in this country, and we can see it in the sentencing guidelines. For example, I have never understood why the penalties for heroin, which is a drug more commonly associated with people of color, and the penalties for cocaine, both of which are addictive, but cocaine more likely to be associated with Caucasians usage, they're completely different. All of those things are there. They're embedded. We need to recognize them. I hope that Governor Holcomb has the wherewithal to demand that his supermajorities in the legislature deal with this. It isn't enough to put them out there and say he's going to work with them. If he has supermajorities, which, of course, I hope he's not going to have come November, but if he does, he needs to go in there and break arms to get a meaningful hate crimes bill and get meaningful legislation that deals with these systemic problems.
Well, as we talked about,
it sounds like you know that Eric Holcomb's going to be in the legislature in the State House in January to deal with the Republican legislature.
John,
so I'm glad you thought you were drawing that conclusion.
You know, you're John, I have a Republican legislature, but you're not going to have super majorities.
John, I wanted to ask you a version of Ann's question, which is, again, it feels weird to ask this question in mid-August, but with the realities of what campaigns look like now and the uphill battle that Woody Myers and any Democrat faces on a statewide level, would this ad have been more effective 2 or 3 months ago to sort of get this message out there and get more people acquainted with who Woody Myers is?
It arguably would have been more compelling, but keep in mind his fundraising has been compromised by any number of factors, including COVID-19, which, you know, the lockdown order, I think, canceled 15 or more of his fundraisers during the time period you're talking about. So, and ad campaigns on television certainly are expensive. So it might have been something as practical as simply not having the money necessary to air a spot like this with this visibility at that time. And also keep in mind, back then, people were focused I mean, they're still focused on COVID-19, but back then it was, you know, basically morning, noon, and night, and it would have allowed a little room, probably any other kind of discussion. But let's just say this is a compelling ad from a compelling figure. You know, it, when Hoosiers in fourth grade, I think it is, if memory serves, studies, you know, great Hoosiers and picks somebody to write about, this is the kind of person, Woody Myers would be the kind of person that kids would write about, their biographies. At age 23, he was graduated from medical school. Age 23, I'd hate to think what I was doing at 23. And at 30, he was commissioner of the Department of Health. I won't. Statute hasn't run in all of those areas. And, but the this is a heroic figure. But so what, I guess, is the point. We can acknowledge that. But unless you can shake voters loose from the incumbent, who seems to enjoy an advantage both in terms of polling and in terms of fundraising and in terms of name ID, to what advantage? But it's a good spot, compelling spot, but I don't think it changes anything, especially since you're not running against, you know, an avowed Klansman. If you're running against Governor Jackson from Indiana's, you know, Klan governor back in the 1920s, well, then this would be an effective spot. But here you have a governor who, as we just noted, has recognized publicly the problem of systemic racism and is taking steps, albeit limited, to address it.
Whitney, reporters have talked to... Whitney, reporters have talked to Dr. Myers for a few months now, particularly as after the death of George Floyd and as the country as a whole reached what Holcomb referred to as an inflection point, where the issues of racial inequality, while always present, have been more in the spotlight than they ever have been for the last maybe 50 years. Reporters have been talking to Dr. Myers, as we should have, about these issues, but I don't know if I've ever heard him in person speak as compellingly about some of these things as this ad does. Have you heard this message told this well up to this point, whether in an ad or just talking to the to Dr. Myers?
No, I really can't say I have. In my interviews with Dr. Myers, he's always able to talk expansively about whatever you ask him about. And he'll be sure to add and kind of try to turn it back to tie it into the campaign. But mostly I've seen his passion kind of light up when you talk about healthcare issues. I've talked to him specifically about nursing homes a couple of times and the like. But I haven't heard him talk this passionately about his own personal life story. I haven't really heard him highlight that at all when I've interviewed him. And I really think that he just has no name ID because a lot of people just can't seem to connect the two. I mean, I talk about him with my friends when I'm talking about what I did at work, and nobody can ever seem to connect the two, the name with the story. So I think that he's got a long way to go if he wants to get that name recognition with more Hoosiers and sharing this personal story to start, but it might be a little too late for that, considering that people have already made up their minds.
All right, well, time now for viewer feedback. Each week, we pose an unscientific online poll question in conjunction with our Ice Miller email and text alerts. This week's question, who will win the 2020 Indiana governor's race? Democrat Woody Myers, Republican Eric Holcomb, or the Libertarian Donald Rainwater? Last week's question, we asked you to predict whether Congress and the White House will enact another COVID relief package before the end of August. And I am proud to see that 23% of those who voted are optimistic people, because you said yes, while 77% said no. If you'd like to take part in the poll, go to wfyi.org/IWIR and look for the poll. Well, the Department of Workforce Development is requesting funds from the federal government to give unemployed Hoosiers an additional $300 a week. But Indiana Public Broadcasting's Justin Hicks reports that it will only go to those receiving $100 or more in benefits already.
The Lost Wage Assistance Program will be available for out-of-work Hoosiers backdated to August 1st. Federal guidelines say workers must have received benefits of at least $100 under state or federal unemployment programs to be eligible. DWD Commissioner Fred Payne says unlike other recent unemployment programs, the money doesn't come from the Department of Labor. Therefore, it could take somewhere between 2 to 4 weeks to start making payments.
So it's going to take a little bit of extra effort on our part in terms of moving staff to build a new system, and that system requires us to look at some new infrastructure.
The program is set to last through the end of the year. However, it could end earlier if the FEMA fund runs out of money or Congress passes a bill to supplement unemployment insurance.
Whitney, these benefits could have been boosted by $400 a week rather than $400 a week rather than $300. What do the states say about why it isn't going that route?
Commissioner Payne really said that after evaluating the economic situation of the state, they felt like it was better to go with the $300 option instead of giving that extra $100. So there wasn't really a specific direct response, but it seems like he highlighted the low unemployment, well, quote unquote, lower unemployment rather than the 17% we reported a couple months ago. I think it's down to 11% this morning. And he just seemed to think that the initial claims are going down, and so Hoosiers aren't showing as much of a need for those funds. And also because of the extra 2 to 4 weeks with FEMA, to set up the FEMA system, it's going to take some time to set that up anyway. But I should note that not very many states at all have publicly committed to doing the $400. I think only 3 or 4 states have done it when I checked last. So
yeah, I think that's about that's what I found. Yeah, that's about what I found too. And Delaney, the state could have used the CARES Act money to do that $100 to get the $300, which means an extra $400 for unemployed Hoosiers. But that would probably deplete those funds pretty quickly. So was the reasonable move here to go with the $300 that they didn't have to put up $100 for?
The reasonable move is not to sit on $1.4 billion when people are hurting. Whether you do it through the $100 for that, whether you quintuple the rent and mortgage foreclosure money, I don't care. The point is to get that money to the people who need it, not to sit on it, which is all the governor's doing.
Mike O'Brien, are people who need this money going to just care that they're getting some more and they won't care whether it's $300 or $400 that much?
Well, of course they're going to care if it's $300 or $400, but the state's got Ann Delaney is doing with these CARE Act dollars what she's done with the surplus for the last decade, which is recommend we spend it all. Had we done everything Ann Delaney and Democrats in Indiana wanted with the surplus before this crisis, we would have had no money in April to plug hundreds and hundreds and what will become billions in budgetary shortfalls that we can now manage our way through.
Well, that's because you keep cutting taxes, Michael. If you don't keep cutting taxes, there's money. And you were supposed to spend the CARES money. That was the reason it was allocated.
The unemployment rate for eventually is 7.4% in Indiana, and it's 2.4% lower than the national average.
Right, to plug the surplus.
Moving on, Notre Dame says it will move undergraduate classes online for the next 2 weeks and close public spaces on campus. The announcement follows a spike in COVID-19 cases.
Before students returned to school, Notre Dame recorded a 0.3% positivity rate. Just more than a week since classes began, it increased to 19.1%. The university says most cases can be traced back to off-campus parties. Notre Dame President Father John Jenkins says disciplinary action will not be taken on any student parties that have been reported through contact tracing.
If, however, we learn of a serious violation of our policies from other sources, we will take disciplinary action.
The university says until further notice, off-campus students should not visit campus. After September 2nd, officials will make the decision whether to return to in-person instruction or send students back home.
John Schwanis, was something like this quite simply inevitable?
Oh, yeah, I think so. Again, I'm no public health expert, but I think we all would recognize that proximity, close proximity, is the way that this virus is most easily transmitted. And if you want to look in the dictionary and find close proximity, a little illustration, you'd probably look at any college campus or the environs, and you would find lots of people congregating, as I noticed this week when I dropped two of my kids off at Bloomington at IU.
Because we're running short on time, Whitney, I do want to get your opinion on something. We've seen IU and Purdue come down a little hard on the students who are having these parties. Notre Dame says it doesn't want to do it if they only find out through contact tracing. But is that the right course? Do we need stricter punishment on students who break these policies?
I'm a very recent student myself. I'm not sure that really is going to have the effect that they want. Yeah. You know, I was reading about ISU over in Terre Haute, and the students there were pushing back against the administration trying to do that. So I really don't think this is going to help students.
All right. Well, finally, it was a little delayed, and they won't have fans in the stands, but this weekend marks the greatest spectacle in racing, the Indianapolis 500. So it is prediction time. Mike O'Brien, we'll start with you. Who have you got winning this year's race?
Well, we've got an Andretti on the pole for the first time in a while, and I think this country could use an Andretti winning this race.
I like that pick. And Delaney, who have you got?
I've got Scott Carpenter. I want the Hoosier.
John Schwanis, very quickly.
We'll go with Marco.
And Whitney?
I've never seen the Indy 500, and just plan to be a silent observer this year.
Well, this is not the way I would. This is not the way I would have my first race, but it'll have to do. I'm going with Will Power, mainly because I like the name Will Power, and that's Indiana Week in Review for this week. Our panel is Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Mike O'Brien, John Schwanis of Indiana Lawmakers, and Whitney Downard of CNHI. If you'd like a podcast of this program, you can find it at WFYI.org/IWIR. Or starting Monday, you can stream it or get it on demand from Xfinity and on the WFYI app. I'm Brandon Smith of Indiana Public Broadcasting. Stay safe, stay healthy, and join us next time, because a lot can happen in an Indiana week.
Indiana Week in Review is made possible by the supporters of Indiana Public Broadcasting Stations and by Ice Miller. Ice Miller is a full-service law firm committed to helping clients build, grow, and protect their interests. More at icemiller.com. The opinions expressed are solely those of the panelists. Indiana Week in Review is a WFYI production in association with Indiana Public Broadcasting Stations.